Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
And Stocker continues with the now 1 hour and 17 minute and going edition of the Cut Sheet.
It's the never-ending Cut Sheet, right, Tony Bruno?
It never ends, and it's people want more. They want more. They want more quality content. That's what we're here for. We could just shut this down right now, but they want content.
Thank you, sir. We mentioned this earlier, kind of piggybacking off of how we ended the 8 o'clock hour with that courageous girl, 16-year-old, who was replaced by a dude. HBO aired a John Oliver show last week tonight, or whatever the name of the show is. He did a 45-minute monologue on that men... He argued that men have only limited or no advantage over women in sports. Right. And women's sports almost never happens on the same evening that a women's pool final was contested by two men. Yeah. Roll this.
Here she is explaining what we do and don't know at this point.
It is undoubtedly true that trans women will maintain advantages in some sports, probably not so much in endurance sports, but in size and strength sports. Trans women will also have some physiological disadvantages. Our larger frames are now being powered by reduced muscle mass and reduced aerobic capacity, and that can lead to disadvantages in terms of like quickness, recovery, endurance, things that maybe aren't quite as obvious as being bigger and stronger.
Right, bigger and stronger bodies are not automatically advantaged in every scenario.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Put The Rock in a pure bar class and see what happens. I mean, we know what would happen. He'd take a video of himself, caption it, mad respect to these mamas, everyone go see Moana 2, and try to use it to sell his tequila before eating 13,000 pancakes and drinking a cow. We know what would happen. But the degree of difference here matters, because we expect a certain amount of difference in athletics. Taller basketball players are expected to compete against shorter ones, faster soccer players compete against slower ones. Michael Phelps was allowed to compete with other swimmers despite being part dolphin. And crucially, none of the studies I've mentioned so far bear much relevance to what these new laws target, which is youth sports, usually of all ages. And the research there is even more scant. We have no research about how being trans or undergoing gender-affirming treatment impacts athletic performance in teens. And when it comes to kids before the onset of puberty, I could talk about the study showing the subtle performance differences between boys and girls, but I'd argue when you're talking about seven-year-olds, as a practical matter, that's a point where lots of school sports are co-ed anyway, and a key difference between competitors on a field can come down to whether a kid was born in October or April. And at this point, you might be saying, well, I don't need to wait for scientific research. This is all common sense, and I know what I've seen online. But a lot of what you've seen may not be quite what you think it is, both when it comes to trans athletes' impact on competition or safety.
Oh, yeah.
So, for the unfunny Mr. John Oliver out there, there is scientific research. We just played the clip yesterday with Dr. Phil citing a study where we gave you the percentage increase of how much better men are with arm strength and all the different categories. I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but we played you that clip yesterday. Secondly, what other research do you need other than peer-reviewed evidence? Go to a sporting event and watch a dude compete against. Play the track clip that we played where the guy beat the girl by 7 seconds. Play the basketball clip that we played where the dude went for like 21-13 against a bunch of 5'7" girls on a basketball court. And if it's apples to apples, Anna, how about this? Why do we never see the biological female transitioning to male going into men's sports and dominating?
It's not advantageous.
Because there's no advantage to doing it.
Yeah.
It's so obvious. This is the dumbest subject of all the things we talk about that we have to talk about because the left wants to die on a hill where they're on the wrong side of the ledger at 90-10, right? Like, there's like 10%.
By the way, isn't this guy another? This guy is another comic, right? A British comic.
Yes.
Who I've ever absolutely never watched, never got, never liked. Yet he's still on the air. And again, if you want to watch his show, watch it till the cows come home, because they don't anymore. But the fact that this guy is another one of these woke, phony British comics who is never funny.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything funny that this guy has done and said, man, that was really great writing, and that's really, really funny? Even Bill Maher writes a good monologue.
Well, I think Bill's
funny.
You know,
it's funny.
Yeah, I agree.
But this guy is as unfunny. This is why we beat the Brits, and we will always beat the Brits. We should never have – we should have nothing to do with Britain. We should ban them and never watch anything. Robin watches all these slow, tedious British shows. I'm going to cut the cord today. She is not allowed to watch BritBox or any of these other crappy shows that are on and these PBS never-ending bore fests. All this British garbage. Get it off the air.
Yeah.
Get it off now.
I do love drinking with the Brits, though. They're a good time. I had a couple of British friends in Tennessee. Yeah.
The LA
Dodgers. At a soccer game, yes. Not on late night television.
The LA Dodgers visited the White House yesterday. By the way, the defeated LA Dodgers to your Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep.
Look, it seems to me, I don't know, Cal, did you see any of this?
I did. I saw Ohtani. He looked happy to be there.
Actually, let's start with Ohtani. He takes a picture with Trump, and he gives
him a couple of coins. He gives him a couple of these, I don't know what they are, but they have to be worth something.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Roll this video, Phil.
Boy, oh boy, what an athlete.
And 3, 2, 1.
You know what you do? Family.
Here's a chocolate coin.
For your family.
Here's a Sharpie.
Yeah.
Take a picture by the Declaration.
Gave him 2 coins.
Yeah. Take a picture by the Declaration of Independence. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. He's such a hospitality guy, you know?
He really is.
The casino.
Two. Not one. Not one, but two.
Did he show off the Lincoln bedroom?
Yeah.
He loves to show that off.
He loves. I've been in the Oval Office and with him, and he is the most gracious, I think I've ever seen. Like, agree with him, disagree with him, it doesn't matter. He just, like, he's giving out tchotchkes. He's like, here, let's watch this. Here, let's look at this. Mm-hmm. Here, come in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just loves showing.
He'd be a great tour guide.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Does Ohtani speak English yet?
Let me correct.
I don't know.
I want to correct myself. I got Ricky Gervais is good, and so is Benny Hill. Benny Hill is way ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time.
Benny Hill and Ricky Gervais, they get a pass. No other Brits. That's it. I have 2 Brits that I accept. Everything. I don't care about Doctor Who and the 15 idiots who play Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Who gives a crap?
You remember
Doctor Who? For what?
Yeah. Remember the late 90s when they tried to bring Mr. Bean over here? And they made a movie and they tried to convince us that it was funny.
Yeah,
it was not funny.
That little twist.
Yeah. I will say this though, Tony, you'll probably agree with this. Monty Python, very funny.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yeah, back in the day, it was. Yes. The movies were great. Because they were biting sarcasm.
Yep.
Because they were funny. Mm. Because they made fun of stuff.
Yep.
Now, if you look at those guys, they're now all woke idiots.
Yeah, you're right.
They have all flipped Moby of all people.
Even Moby. John Cleese.
John Cleese
is now woke.
He is? That's a shame.
Yeah. Yes.
By the way, Mr. Bean lasted all of 15 episodes in 1995 here in America.
They made a movie.
Yeah, they did.
There was a Mr. Bean movie.
He's actually a funny guy because he doesn't say anything. He's one of the best guys who never said anything, who actually was funny not saying anything, unlike most Brits.
Yeah.
Like that stupid guy, whatever his name is, who used to be on The Daily Show and isn't funny anymore, but he still has an HBO show for some reason.
John Oliver.
Yeah. Is that Mr. Bean was what? Rowan? Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw presented Donald Trump with a 47 jersey. This is cut 12, Phil. Roll this.
Mr. President, we have a gift for you as well.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I like that. Wow. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
That Dodger blue is pretty nice.
Move this thing.
Get this damn podium out of here.
Come on, Mark.
Where's Burt Reynolds? Get the podium out of here.
Where's the lectern guy?
Yeah. I love it. They huff too, don't they? Like, come on.
3, 2, 1.
There you go.
There it is. Boom.
Yeah, we mentioned this yesterday, Tony. I guess Mookie Betts, when he won the World Series with the Red Sox in the first Trump term, didn't go to the White House. Ended up going yesterday as part of the Dodgers. To my knowledge, I don't think there were any Dodgers that skipped the White House. If there was one, I missed the story. I didn't see it, but I think they had full attendance from what I gather.
No, but there were some Dodger media people and some fans at home freaking out. There's videos everywhere.
Oh, really?
I went there, but I just shook a hand because it's customary. So now you have media from LA media, Dodger media, apologizing because they're getting criticized for going there and shaking the hands of the president of the United States. So now the pressure's on the Eagles because they'll be going to the White House, and we'll see, you know, if all of them show up. And again, I don't care whether you go or not. I mean, to me, it's an honor to get invited to the White House. How about the fact that what's-his-name had never been there? Bill Maher had never been to the White House, even though he's been a lapdog for the left for generations, and he gets invited by Trump to go and have dinner.
Yeah.
And so this is what it's about. It's about you don't have to agree with everybody.
I know.
But, you know, there's one Dodger fan. It's a woman who goes crazy on TikTok and rips her shirt off. She wasn't even that hot. I mean, if she was hot, I'd say, yeah, keep ripping it off, baby.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing.
Yeah. Max, he shook hands with Max Muncy.
Muncy.
And he had a really good line for this. Roll this.
Right. And Max Muncy, I want to congratulate Max.
Max.
Arms are very strong when I touch them. I'm used to shaking politicians and hitting their arm, and it's like Jell-O. And now it's like steel. All these guys, but
boy,
Max,
boy,
there you go.
Boy, he's good at this. He's so good at this.
He really. This is what separates him from so many that are just awkward, Democrat or Republican.
This is the line. This is the line of the day. Cut nine.
Congratulations, Brian. And others, we have a couple of senators here. I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team. I didn't think it was that big a deal, actually. Washington. Over the course of this amazing season, the members of this team gave us some.
Schiff and Padilla.
Yeah,
he's such an entertainer.
Yeah, I know.
Some people do it as a grift, as a troll job, and they don't mean it. He means it, even though it's funny.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a separation between those two.
Yeah.
What was the dinner that Kamala refused to go to that Trump went to? It was the roast we talked about a couple of months ago. The Al. It's not. What the hell's it called? What's the function? The dinner? Al? Not Al Green.
He wants. That's the Catholic guy's annual event.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan was.
Gaffigan was there.
I can't remember.
And Trump's just there. He's up there taking. I mean, this is a guy who a few months ago.
Al Davis. Or something.
Al Smith or something.
Al Smith. Yeah. Yes, you got it.
Not the Al. I go to the al dente dinner because it's Italian.
That's
right. The pasta's cooked just right. It's got to be al dente, not mushy mushy.
That's correct. You know? And he's up there. This is a guy who, you know, 2 months before was shot at, right? And he's been called Hitler. He's been called a Nazi. And he's there yucking it up with Schumer like it's all part of a game, which it is, except for when they actually try to shoot you in the head.
Right.
And he's sitting there making jokes, and he's thriving in a setting that you knew Kamala Harris could not thrive in.
No, no way.
Because she has no sense of humor. She would start cackling for no reason because she's got like this nervous, anxious thing going on. And she just can't bob and weave, which everything about her is scripted.
Yeah.
Trump just, to whether it's his benefit or if he, you know, steps on a self-inflicted wound and steps on a landmine and blows his foot off. He just, I mean, boom, boom, boom. And you either have that ability or you don't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk about it in this format. We had Alec Baldwin years ago try to do a talk radio show. Couldn't do it.
Really?
Where's the callers? Are there any callers?
Yeah.
What do I talk about? I have 13 more minutes to go.
Yeah, Anna, he was
a different skill. Yeah.
He was on this radio station probably 20 years ago.
Okay.
About 20 years ago. I was his producer.
That's how long you've been here.
He was trying to do news or?
No, he was trying to do like a talk show.
Okay.
And he didn't get any calls.
Yeah.
and he didn't know what to do because he thought he was just going to say, hey, this is Alec Baldwin. Yeah. Joe, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Look, what do you want to talk about, Joe?
The biggest mistake he made, he should have said, let's get it back to the Eagles. And then a couple of phone lines would have lit up, and then he'd be able to fake it.
It's not the same. I mean, Tony, you remember years ago when we were doing sports, they had one of the shows was paired together. It was a writer and a TV guy.
Yep.
And everybody thinks that they can do talk radio. And then all of a sudden they get on there for 4 hours, and you're like, oh, I have a lot of time to fill.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump
exactly.
is. Trump goes for an hour and a half, 2-3 days a week taking questions from the press.
Yeah.
And they're not friendly questions.
No.
Joe Biden would go 3 months without a press conference.
Oh, and his rallies, he could go 2 hours off the cuff just making jokes and bringing random people up on stage. Yeah, he's a master.
We go four and a half hours without a script.
We go an hour on the cut sheet without a break.
Don't try this yourself at home. All you podcasters and people who think this is easy, this is not easy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not digging ditches. It's not mining for gold, which is now over $3,000 an ounce, and I should have gone out to got a mine in Nevada and started mining for gold. Mm-hmm. I watched those Gold Rush shows on Friday night on Discovery Channel. I'm going to go out and start mining for gold.
I could see you and Robin with like a gold detector at the beach in Florida, and you're sitting there with the thing.
No, that's different gold. That's all the rich people who lose their watches and wedding rings on the beach. I'm not going to be one of those old dudes with a metal detector on the beach. Beach in Miami.
It starts beeping, and Robin's like, Tony, get the shovel, start digging.
Back to tariffs for 1 second. I didn't play this. The EU offered Trump a 0-for-0 trade thing with the tariffs, and Trump said no. Nope, not good enough. He says, it's not enough. That's his quote. Roll this. 19.
Offer 0-for-0 tariffs on cars and industrial goods? Is that not enough?
Well, it's not. The EU has been very tough over the years. I always say it was formed to really do damage to the United States in trade. That's the reason it was formed. It was formed with all of the countries from Europe, I guess most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And they formed together to create a little bit of a monopoly situation, to create a unified force against the United States for trade. So they have NATO, which is largely the same countries, and they took advantage of us dollar-wise and militarily until I got there. You know, I was able to get $600 billion from NATO, where they paid NATO, because most of these nations weren't even paying. We were paying for NATO. So we're paying them to guard them militarily, and they're screwing us on trade. So that's not a good combination. So now it's really turned around. It's the opposite. And the European Union's been very very bad to us. They don't take our cars, like Japan in that sense. They don't take our agricultural product. They don't take anything, practically. And yet they send millions of cars in a year, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, BMWs. They're sending millions and millions of cars into the U.S. But we don't have a car that's been sold to the European Union or other places. But let's go for the European Union. And it's not going to be that way. It's got to be fair and reciprocal. It's got to be fair. It's not fair. We have a deficit with the European Union of $350 billion. And it's going to disappear fast. And one of the reasons and one of the ways that that can disappear easily and quickly is they're going to have to buy our energy from us because they need it. They're going to have to buy it from us.
All right. So I was just going to ask the question because I didn't know the answer. What else does the European Union need to do? Because we dropped our tariff with Israel as Israel dropped it. So it's 0-for-0. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the tariff chart here. Trump's, we'll call it his menu that he had in his hand a few days ago. The European Union tariffs us at 39%. We tariff them in return at 20%. So I guess for whatever reason, 0-for-0 is not enough. I don't know if it's because of other industries and other sectors of business and trade and commerce, but I would think that was enough, but apparently Trump says not enough. I'm not smart enough to understand why that's not good enough, but apparently it's not.
It's just never enough, as the late, great Barry White once said. It's just never enough, baby. It's just not enough.
We should break, and I still have some more here. By the way, the media, they're kind of done scaring us about the markets. They don't have COVID anymore. So they have two other things now in the hopper to scare us about. What will they be? I'll tell you on the other side.
A mainstream primetime show with Michelle Obama.
No!
I'm just kidding.
Love teases. You can't have those kind of teases.
Thank you, baby.
Can't have the 34th ranked podcast and then go to primetime. Yeah. All right, we'll continue. Kale and Company. Anna also has a big three on the way. We're back after this. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The stock market rebounded and the media is tired of that narrative. What is it time for? Fear porn. California health officials are warning of a new deadly virus that is wiping people out. This is cut five, Phil. It's not actually a new virus, but they're pretending it is. Roll it.
Okay. Health officials in Central California confirming the deaths of three people from hantavirus. It's the same rare and often fatal disease contracted through mice and rodent droppings that killed Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy, back in February in New Mexico. All three of the California deaths occurred in the past 2 months in Mammoth Lakes, a popular skiing area. It's unclear how they contracted the disease.
Uh-oh. Mouse poop. Uh-oh. Clean up the droppings or you're going to go like the Hackmans did.
By the way, hantavirus has been around forever.
Right.
Sure it has, yeah.
But it's prevalent in like, New Mexico, California, in like rural areas where there's a lot of mice.
Do they have shots for that now?
No.
Are we going to have a pandemic, a hanta? Didn't the women, all those women and hookers that Hunter Biden sleep with get the hantavirus? I mean, they had to be. I mean, he didn't use any protection from what I saw.
I think you're correct.
I believe our boy, the Road Warrior, officially, he was the first to guess, an educated guess, and he was correct, of that Gene Hackman and his wife, that it would be the hantavirus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now, were they in California or New Mexico?
New Mexico,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So she died of hantavirus, and then he died of it as well?
No.
He was already dying of something else.
He was 106. Like, he was.
Yeah. He had Alzheimer's, and she was his caregiver.
Okay.
So she died.
And right.
Nobody was there to. So they think that he was in the house with her body, dead for.
And
couple
the dog,
days.
The dog that
yeah.
died,
yeah. yeah,
that was what hantavirus as well.
But he was no. I think the dog died of something else.
Oh, okay.
And he basically died from lack of treatment and care because
what I thought
he was completely out of it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are two measles death now, and the guy with the bad hair piece is now screaming about that.
That's where I was.
Pollster.
That's
where going to the pollster again.
That's where I was going to go next. This is cut 23 here. That they are now discussing. So it's hantavirus and measles. Okay.
Measles outbreak in Texas is growing.
Growing!
And a second unvaccinated child has died of the virus. 481 cases have been reported in the state so far. Nearly all of them were unvaccinated. Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. was at the child's funeral yesterday publicly backed the MMR vaccine as the most effective way to prevent the spread of the disease. Of course, that is raising the question, though, why did he wait until now to do that? So let's bring in CNN medical correspondent Meg Terrell.
There you go.
Dr.
Fauci and his wife? Where's Dr. Fauci and his wife? They need to get him on and do another panel.
They're in line getting the ninth booster, Tony.
You can't do this twice in one generation. Like, people remember COVID. You got to wait at least 10 to 15 years before you try to scare us again.
It's like shock and awe when somebody dies of something on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just expect everybody to live forever and never die from anything.
Right.
I can't imagine either putting on that act and that performance like they do, or actually authentically living like that, right?
Yeah, which would be worse.
Like, you even said this during the break. We were talking about, like, chiropractic work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I said something to the effect of, we're all going to die from something, right?
Of course.
So, like, I'm all for trying to live a healthy life, and I'm trying. But I have my cheat days, and I drink something or I eat something, and then I gain a third of a pound. I mean, some of these people, like, we had this conversation 2 weeks ago on the show. Either Dawn or Greg brought up the radiation from your cell phone and how it can cause a brain tumor. If we're going to live in this world of everything has a negative downside to it and can kill us, then I don't want to live in this planet. Then I'm just going to live, what's the old phrase? YOLO, you only live once?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're worried about this thing causing you a brain tumor, go find a straitjacket.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. No,
I was sucking in dust yesterday, all kinds of debris inside a house.
Yeah.
They were cutting tile. They were cutting soffit material, aluminum.
Yeah.
This wind was blowing. Sand is getting in my eyes. Give me a break, people, okay?
Yeah, remember back in the day when people would work in an office with asbestos everywhere?
Right.
You think they were complaining?
Exactly.
Honestly,
the Philadelphia school system is still there's asbestos in most of the public schools in Philadelphia. Who's doing anything about that? There's no air conditioning.
I know. Well, I know.
We're worried about the weasels.
Jalen Hurts is trying. He bought a couple of air conditioners for schools.
I know.
In Philadelphia, it's good work out of the quarterback.
But I'm telling you, this kind of fatalistic approach I have now is kind of liberating because, like you said, everything could kill us.
Right.
So then you just stop caring and worrying about it because you just go like, all right, so you don't want to take the pharmaceuticals, but then like. You spray air freshener, it's a bunch of chemicals, and you wear the cologne, and you have the soap that's not natural. Who cares? Right. Just live your life and try to enjoy it until, you know, you're in the ground.
Well, one day it's...
You think I'm afraid of alligators? You know, everybody, oh, you live in Florida. Aren't you afraid of alligators?
Gators.
No. I don't get near where alligators go. Yeah, I stay away from them.
Yeah.
Gators.
Yeah, one day there's a study that a glass of wine is good for you. Then the next day, two beers will kill you.
Right.
Now, which one is it?
Depends on the day. Depends who's sponsoring the research, actually.
Yeah.
You got to always look at who's sponsoring the research.
Always goes back to the money, right?
Yep.
As a former pizza delivery driver, I would like to say now that it is not safe to be a delivery driver anymore. Let's start in Florida, where Tony and Anna are from. This is in Kissimmee, Florida.
That's near Disney World up there. That's in the middle of the state.
So apparently this person tried to deliver a pizza to a customer, and the customer stabbed him 14 times because she was angry over a $2 tip.
Oh.
The customer? Oh.
No. The pizza delivery driver stabbed the customer because she was angry over a $2
tip. Now you see why Stalker gives 25%.
Yeah.
Roll this.
Good morning, ma'am. Please state your name.
Brianna Alvelo.
At 22 years old, Brianna Alvelo could spend the rest of her life behind bars. She's accused of making a pizza delivery turn violent.
The state believes that this is a punishable by life offense. There should be no bond set, and it should not be set for a pretrial detention hearing.
Osceola County Sheriff's Office says on Sunday evening, someone staying at the Rivera Motel in Kissimmee ordered pizza. Detectives claim Alvelo delivered the pizza to the person. But she was not happy with her tip. Arrest.
I do find that there is probable cause.
Investigators say Alvelo came back to the motel room, this time with a man who had a gun. They say the two of them forced their way into the room, and then Alvelo used a knife to stab the victim several times.
And I've never heard of nothing like that. I have three kids, but it's good to know because I'll always be aware.
The woman is also accused of stealing things from the room.
What's so funny?
She is facing charges of home invasion, attempted murder, kidnapping, and aggravated assault.
That goes to show you don't trust nobody.
DTA?
No matter what, where they are.
Deputies are looking for the armed man who was with Alvelo.
Those do remain in place.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Wow.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you, Ms. Alvelo.
All right,
and he lived?
Yeah.
The victim?
Yeah.
You know, Anna and I were chatting.
They should have gotten the extra most bestest from, you know, on Mondays, they're all over the regular pizza places. You got to go to Little Caesars to get the hot and fresh, extra, super duper, multiple thousand layers of pepperoni. And then none of this would have happened.
And that's a good, Tony, that's a good buy. For $5.99, you get that Little Caesars pie. You can't beat that price in this day and age.
But absolutely.
I was telling Anna during the break, we were talking about my little stint in law school. And I told her about I was going to be a defense attorney or a prosecutor. Here's my defense right here for this driver. $2 tip back when a pizza was $8.99, that's 22%. It's a good tip.
Yeah.
Nowadays, when you're at the local mom and pop place is charging you $21 for a pie, $2 not enough. You might get stabbed.
Nope.
Great defense.
Look, that's why I never got.
Did they order from a chain, or I mean, you know, that's up in Disney World country up there, Kissimmee, right next to where all the theme parks are.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot. Most of those are chain restaurants. When you're ordering in a sleazy hotel in Kissimmee, I'm thinking this was not a 5-star resort.
You don't think?
I don't think this was on, as they say at Disney. On adjacent Disneyland, Disney World adjacent.
That's so good.
This DoorDash driver in Texas felt bad for a beggar, so he got out of the car to buy something for him to eat. What do you think happened? Mm-hmm.
Shot.
I was just trying to get some food.
Altman's decided to order the man food.
I opened my car. I was going to go get him some food. And literally, the second I opened my door to step out, he just, like, starts stabbing me.
Fort Worth Police Department says Quindarius Cartwright is the man who cut Altman's in the face and chest. Photos of the bloody gash are too graphic to broadcast.
Wow. Genuinely thought I was going to die. It was so much blood. Walked in Waffle House. They were freaking out. I mean, I'm sure it's probably a traumatic thing for anyone to watch.
Video of Altman's recovery shows his swollen face and stitches.
Most of the stab wounds, like to the body, weren't really too bad. It was just when he stabbed me in the face that was like, it was really bad.
On top of injuries, Cartwright reportedly stole Altman's car and joyrode it to a strip club in North Fort Worth.
I mean, normally,
as if the story couldn't get worse.
Wow.
How about them Cowboys? What the hell's going on in Texas now?
Jesus,
you know,
man.
How many stories there are in Texas that are whack? It's all Jasmine Crockett's fault.
I agree.
But, you know, when I lived in Venice, we'd go, Robin and I would go to restaurants, and then we would take some food home from right around the corner. Yeah. And there'd always be that homeless guy sitting there, and we would give him the leftovers. The guy would then pick it up and throw it in the trash. We offered him the food, figuring he needs it. He didn't want the food. He wanted money because they asked you for money first because they want to buy drugs and booze. And then you're thinking, this poor bastard's sitting there and, you know, hasn't had any food. You give him the food and he throws in, like, lobster Thermidor and throws it in the trash can, for God's sake.
You know, normally I go to Waffle House to clog an artery, not to clot some bleeding, because that's a hell of a move by that guy. But, you know, this is now three stabbings. So we have a stabbing at a track meet in the stands over the wrong seat, a DoorDash delivery driver, and a pizza delivery person. The common theme now is stabbing is back in style. It's stabbing season. This is embarrassing.
Well, at least we're cutting back on gun violence right now. Except in Philadelphia, except in Philly, where guns are still the most accessible. You saw the video of the guy shot at close range and just walked by.
Yeah,
I mean it's crazy out there. I'm not condemning the whole city. It's my city. But when you see the violence that's going on, it's almost like these people just don't care about human life.
Right.
To be able to just walk up, even if it's a revenge or somebody did you wrong, to walk up and stab or shoot an innocent delivery driver. Who would want to be a delivery driver in this day and age? Seriously.
Not me.
I agree with you. I agree with you. By the way, I don't even love, like, I profile. I'm going to look at the, my DoorDash driver. And see how reputable they are. You know what I mean? Because these people are coming up to my door.
Isn't DoorDash, like, so expensive these days?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
People are lazy. People are lazy. They can't even walk around the corner to get their own stinking pizza. They have to have somebody deliver.
Personal attack on Greg.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
I will self-admit, because I've never used DoorDash, you can preview who you can pick your delivery driver based on, like, a photo or, like, a review.
No, but you can order something, and then whoever picks it up, if this person doesn't look reputable, you can cancel it.
Oh,
I'm sure that they love that. As they're on the way to your house and know where you live.
No. It doesn't do it. It doesn't work like that. They don't pick it up. You know that by that time you're well into it and you have to.
Okay,
I got you.
But they're like, you know, Joe Bob is picking it up. It's like, okay, Joe Bob.
Yeah,
we like Joe Bob.
Am I in the minority here? I've never used a delivery service for food other than the old school. You know, whoever the delivery driver was from the joint.
Yes, we've
only used it like twice when I had COVID. Yeah. When I was scared of COVID back in like 2021.
I actually just go pick up the food myself now anymore.
Yeah.
Because you got the tip, you got the delivery fee.
It's ridiculous.
Then you throw in the DoorDash charge or whatever that is.
Plus the food is more expensive.
Right. $20 pizza now costs you $37 when you're all said and done.
I'm made of money.
I'll go buy two ribeyes.
We should break again, but coming up, I have a video. I don't know if you saw this, Kale. A 45-year-old man is filing for divorce from his wife.
It's not me.
Because of...
you're 41.
Because of something that happened at an Usher concert. And I know people are like, I don't care about Usher. No, you're gonna want to see this video. Yeah.
And if you miss it,
love Usher.
You're gonna have to take that and rewind it back.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Get over there. We'll play that video coming up next.
Because Kale and Company's got the content to make your booty go.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
And as you can see in box number 4 now, replacing the Stalker box is the Almquist box, which can mean only one thing. Music is coming up in a moment. But before the music, we get to the movies. Jimmy Kelly, let's get to today's Morning Mystery movie clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You go to the University of Arizona?
Yeah, so?
Good football team.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know.
Arizona Wildcats. He called you a wildcat before I didn't even pick up on it. The bastard's got a camera right in your face. He can see the whole bus. He's been playing me from minute one.
Yeah, well, he can see me, but can he hear me?
Doesn't look like he's just watching.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Now, once again today, a pair of Fandango movie codes, because they don't do tickets anymore, movie codes to see The Amateur. From 20th Century Studios, rated R, only in theaters and IMAX, and it starts this Friday, April 11th. If you can identify that movie, caller 12, 855-839-1210. You get the pair of movie codes. Best of luck. Nice work, Jimmy Kelly. You took my advice. And now we go from the movies to the music. And Phil Almquist's What Occurred Today in Music History.
Today, April 8th, we celebrate the birthdays of Julian Lennon, who's 62, Izzy Stradlin from GNR, who's 63, and Steve Howe from Yes, who's 78. Heavenly birthday shouts to Paul Gray from Slipknot. We also lost Clem Burke from Blondie yesterday. Singles include Unbelievable by EMF in 91. Albums include Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith in 75. Long Live Rock and Roll by Rainbow in 78. Smash by The Offspring in 94. Third Eye Blind's debut in 97. And Sin After Sin by Judas Priest in 77. Also in 2006, the Stones performed in China for the first time. They were actually banned from playing three songs, Brown Sugar, Honky Tonk Women, and Rough Justice. In 77, the Damned played at CBGB's, the first UK punk band to play live in the U.S. In 42, Glenn Walks launched Capitol Records. In 63, Frank Sinatra hosted the 35th annual at Academy Awards. In 2000, Christopher Walken demands more cowbell from Will Ferrell on SNL. And in 94, Kurt Cobain's body is found at his Seattle home by an electrician sent to install a burglar alarm. But lastly, Slayer announced a show yesterday at Hershey Park Stadium on September 20th.
And you'll be going.
Maybe. The supporting gone, acts right? include, among others, Exodus and Suicidal Tendencies, among others, who actually I will be seeing in about 2 weeks when they open for Metallica. For Kale Company, I fill up. There's always a tie-in somewhere.
I can't believe it was 94 on this day when...
31 years.
Kurt Cobain's body was found. That's crazy.
Yeah, so they said it was he died 3 days before they found his body, so his actual official death date is April 5th.
Or did Courtney Love have him whacked?
Ooh.
Well, she was strung out on an overdose from the day before, if you heard my stock from yesterday.
She's still alive.
Courtney Love? Yes. Of course.
Didn't she leave the country? She just left the country, didn't she?
Yeah, there's a podcast right now that goes through the minutia and really believes that Courtney Love had him axed.
Wow.
That is true, yeah.
And we thought Hillary was a culprit. Interesting. All right, we have our winner. Tom is in Pottstown, and he's identified the movie. Tom, what movie did we just play for you?
That was Speed.
That is correct.
Tom. Yeah, Tom.
There you
Tom,
go.
Tom, really quick, did you hear the show yesterday when Anna was talking about that standoff in Pottstown, and I said the clientele in Pottstown is changing? Do you agree with that statement? Oh.
Absolutely, 100%.
Thank you, Tom.
Vindicated.
I just needed somebody from Pottstown to...
Corroborate.
Thank you.
Corroborate the story.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
There he is. Tom corroborating stories and winning movie codes. That's what he's doing here on a Tuesday. Good work out of Tom. We'll come back, get to Anna's News to kick off the 10 o'clock hour.
And I have that Usher video that we'll play on the other side,
yes.
too.
More videos. Dom will be in about 20 minutes. We'll chat with him, and then he'll take over around 10:30. Everybody stay tuned. We continue bonus content of Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Look, if you don't want to see sexually suggestive material, you might not want to get on over to YouTube. But if you do, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Is this cheating, I guess, is the question. Phil, roll this video. Look at this.
Yeah, baby.
She's just...
And of course somebody's recording it next to her.
Yeah, she's locked in.
Yeah. I love you, Usher.
Hey, I do the same thing when I go to R&B concerts and Usher gets up close and personal with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Was that his confession or her confession?
I was just going to say, that. Tony, was that your confession?
I mean, she's all right.
She, you know, but just,
come on.
I mean, she's...
She orgasming? What is she doing here? She's like,
she's feeling the love.
Yeah, she's...
I just had one.
Yeah.
First time in a long time. First time in a long time. You were so good in 03. Baby, I still want you. Still have your poster on my wall.
Is this... all right. Is this cheating? Well, hang on.
No.
Keep...
Yeah, we need to see the...
Yeah, the cherries.
The fruit, when they enter the fruit. Yeah.
Here we go.
Does he just have cherries in his pocket?
I don't know.
He does.
And what is it like... Yeah, no, he has a bowl of cherries.
Mm-hmm.
I think he grabbed two of them.
Life is a bowl of cherries,
it
after
is.
All.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, she's twice his size.
Look at Tony.
That is so disturbing.
Oh, he's licking two cherries.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Big balls.
Two cherries at the same time.
Yeah.
Hairy balls.
All right, what do we think of this? Is this cheating?
No. No, this is...
No.
I'm going to defend her just the way I would defend myself or my boys if we were allowed to go to a strip club, which we are not. But if we were, and we were just doing something similar to that, part of the show, becoming a part of the show, maybe you get pulled up on stage, you take it like a good sport. She handled that well. Shame on that husband, you snowflake.
Now, if Usher were able to tie the stem of the cherry in his mouth closed and then passed it on to her, that may be a little closer to cheating.
Yeah. By the way, did Usher do that to Justin Bieber? Asking for a friend. Asking for a friend.
No, but I think did.
Did he do that to Usher?
Usher, I don't know this to be true, but I think Usher may or may not have been involved in the Diddy stuff.
Yeah, probably. I think it's kind of disrespectful, especially when you know that at the strip clubs, the cameras, well, they shouldn't be on you, but when you're on a big screen TV and everybody can see you doing that. And also, I think I read the article. It said something like the husband, like she pretends like she's not affectionate with her husband at all in public.
Well, yeah. Then that's the husband's fault.
He's well, who is anymore? I mean, seriously, how long have they been married?
So a 45-year-old man has filed for divorce from his wife after she allowed Grammy-winning singer Usher to seduce her on stage. The husband claims the woman has never kissed him in public, and he was shocked that she could do that to a complete stranger in the presence of 20,000 people, according to this report.
Yeah, I mean, there's another story. We didn't get to this yesterday, but we had it on the show sheet from the Associated Press. Is micro-cheating a new kind of infidelity?
Micro-cheating?
For the social media age, where, like, you post a picture or you like somebody's post. Like, to me, or you go into somebody's direct messages. Going into somebody's DMs, to me, is far more egregious on the scale of, like, 1 to 10 cheating than what she did there. I mean, Usher came up to her.
Exactly.
It's not like she went up to Usher. Unless I'm taking the video out of context, Anna.
I think that the public aspect of it kind of holds a lot of weight, because you're kind of embarrassing your husband by the woman, you know, doing the little like with the two cherries, which are obviously simulating something.
We're stimulating.
Yeah, that too. I don't know. I think it's disrespectful, especially because it's public. So I don't blame him, but I think their marriage was doomed to fail anyways.
Well, they probably weren't on great terms with that destroyed it to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. But like, if you're there, and I'm assuming she's probably close to the front row. Don't you kind of take the assumption that you could be a part of the show at some point by just location?
I don't think she's too upset that her husband is walking away. From that behavior, I don't think it's the first time that woman has done something to disrespect her husband in public. That's just my opinion. I'm just speculating. I don't know.
Look at this. That'd I'm defending the females
it's
here.
It's performance. It's
Thank
performance
you.
Art.
Thank you, Tony.
You know, it's like when, you know, a lot of men take, you know, a lot of couples go into adult establishments.
Yeah.
You know, and then the stripper comes over and makes a move on your girlfriend.
Yeah, but the wife is there. Or the girlfriend's there.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying that the woman makes a move on the woman that you're with.
Yeah.
Is that considered cheating and she's not paying attention to you? You know, I mean, I've been in, Robin and I in Vegas went to an adult club at one of the conventions we went to. And this woman came up to her and wanted to do a lap dance and gave her one for free. What am I supposed to do? Say, no, honey, no. I tipped her anyway, but that was her first lap dance with a woman, and it was Robin's first lap dance receiving it. So am I supposed to go crazy? Some men wouldn't like that.
But you were right there. Her husband wasn't there, and he had to watch this on Twitter like everybody else.
And Tony didn't
I was watching it 6 inches away from it, for God's sake. And I had a tape measure to prove it.
And Tony didn't give a $2 tip and get stabbed.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think, look, I mean, he's a...
Was I jealous? Should I have been jealous there that a chick's hitting on my fiancé?
Our hall pass is still a thing? Don't wives and husbands give...
Oh, it's funny you say that.
Give each other hall passes for celebrities?
Tony, you might remember this. Who was the guy in the NBA that got the one hall pass a year, like 20 years ago? It was the Russian dude that played for Utah.
Wow.
He was nicknamed after a gun. Not an AR-15.
Oh, I know who you're talking
AK
about.
Yeah, it was, whoever AK-47.
AK-47, that's right.
Andre Kirilenko.
Wow.
Bingo, you got it. That's great NBA hall pass knowledge.
Back when
now
people
it doesn't
watched
matter.
It.
Now these people all do orgies, and nobody gives a crap who you're with. You
like,
know what I mean?
Andre Kirilenko's wife knew that he was going to be on the road for 6 months of the year, and she gave him a one-time jail get-out-of-jail-for-free card or a hall pass once a year.
Once a year?
Once a year.
Yeah, that's a little much. But I mean, look.
I mean, if it works for you, it works for you.
Exactly.
I wouldn't
Thank
work
you.
With for
right.
me
Thank
in my
you.
Situation.
Thank
but
you. Thank
right.
you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But like, interestingly enough,
the woman who was giving Robin the lap dance, her name was Kalashnikova, named after the AK-47.
Nice.
And also was a big fan of Alex Ovechkin, who now has the all-time record for goals scored in the National Hockey League.
Yep, that's right. It's good hockey knowledge out of you, Bruno.
All right, let's do a little news.
Yeah, let's get to the news. 10:09. We'll call this the 10:10 news.
10:10 news.
Here's Anna Hummel with the 411.
All right, AOC in hot water. She flies first class to Bernie Sanders' quote "fight oligarchy" rally as critics pan lefty poll for battling inequality. Quote "one mimosa at a time." Socialist Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was photographed flying first class to a Bernie Sanders event last month, with critics saying it shows how she battles inequality one mimosa at a time. An incredulous passenger snapped AOC getting comfy in a roomy first-class cabin of a JetBlue flight on March 19th that departed from the JFK airport for Vegas, where she spoke at a Sanders rally titled "Fighting Oligarchy." The next day, the equality-spouting darling of the far-left rallied alongside her socialist comrade, Senator Bernie Sanders. Quote, okay.
Oh, it's just it's amazing, you know, like father, like daughter, like, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's amazing how all these socialists that talk about inequities, boy, they sure really profit off of capitalism, don't they?
It's always rules for thee and not for me.
This is almost as bad, Tony, as John Kerry talking about climate change and then taking a private charter flight to Davos.
The Nancy Pelosi getting her hair did during COVID and Gavin Newsom dining at a French Laundry while the rest of California can't see their family or go to church.
And they wonder why they have a 21% approval rating.
Yeah, it's not good. Kind of an update on a story we covered yesterday. Female CEO makes shock claim about boy 17 stabbed at Texas track meet as donations to the killer hit $170,000. It's probably more now because this was last night.
Yeah, it's got to be $200,000 by now.
A female CEO has claimed that a teen boy who was fatally stabbed at a track meet in Texas was bullying the 17-year-old accused of killing him. Stephanie Crutchfield, the owner and CEO of several financial health businesses, left the claim on a donation page for Carmelo and Anthony, who is in charge with the murder, is charged with the murder of Austin Metcalf, 17, at a stadium in Frisco. She wrote, quote, "Let's get this baby home. I have a young black son as well, and I live in Collin County. This baby was bullied and was defending himself. I know it's more to the story. I'm praying for you and your family. Please let me know how else I can help," unquote. Really disgusting.
So the kid was bullied and had to resort to stabbing, so says the lady that's being a racial grifter that wasn't, to my knowledge, wasn't even at the event. So I guess it's amazing how you can arrive at the conclusion of that this was race. And kudos to the father. The father in this story continues to say that this was not a racial issue, which good for him, because everybody wants to always make it about identity politics. I don't need, like, outsiders that are jumping into the conversation saying that it was something that you have no idea. Although I will say this, and I brought this up yesterday. In this day and age with the smartphone and all the recordings, I mean, we have video confirmation of Usher and a 45-year-old wife. We have no video surveillance. Nobody pulled out a phone during this. I find that hard to believe. How is that not surfaced yet?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It is really disgusting what's happening. And it's bad science. It's just essentially I have my conclusion, and now I'm just going to fill in with whatever facts I need to make my point, essentially.
Everybody rushes to their corner and goes right back into their little tribal box.
Yeah. Hope, caution for Washington State patients first in line for a new schizophrenia drug. Cobenfy was approved by the FDA in fall of 2024 and represents the first novel approach in decades to treating schizophrenia, which affects an estimated 3.7 million American adults. The drug is now beginning to make its way into the hands of the Washingtonians. Psychiatrists have reported that the pharmaceutical sales reps are dropping off brochures at their offices, that patients are slowly starting to ask about the medication, and that in certain circumstances, they're beginning to write Cobenfy scripts. Quote, "There's been an interest, definitely," said Dr. Vida, a psychiatrist in a private practice in Seattle and behavioral health medical director for care coordination at Optum. So
schizos in the Pacific Northwest with a pharmaceutical drug, TikTok's traffic should probably drop by about 50% by day's end.
And Kale and Company, that's News Live.
Beautiful. There you go. On a Hummel. By the way, Stocker sent this story, and why I remember this, I don't know. But about three or four weeks ago, that Colorado was beginning to experiment with psychedelic mushrooms as a healing drug.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, from the clinical trials and tests that I've seen, it's been able to help vets and stuff with PTSD.
Wow.
And it's microdosing. It's not like, you know, you're not taking a full hit.
Right.
But it has been proven in some cases to help with PTSD. So
it's popular in Silicon Valley. They do a lot of the microdosing to like enhance creativity and relax. Ketamine therapy is also used for PTSD as well.
Yeah.
So I might have the producer start microdosing here to get them more focused on the show and edit.
No, I haven't tried this mushroom coffee. Mushroom coffee craze is still going strong, right? Has anybody had this mushroom coffee?
It's awful. No.
Is it bad?
I don't like it at all. No, I prefer the beans, thanks.
The beans?
Yeah, I'm going to just stick with the beans.
So what's in it, Tony? Just replace the bean with the shrimp?
I don't know. I keep seeing ads. What's the actor's name who was in How I Met Your Mother?
Jason
Segel?
It's
a great actor. He's doing...
Jason Segel, yeah.
No. The gay guy. And he's a great actor.
What's his name?
He's doing this mushroom coffee thing now. And
Neil Patrick
Harris. I know mushrooms are the big thing now.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Neil Patrick Harris is pimping mushroom coffee. I haven't tasted it.
Ugh.
Does it taste like mushrooms? Because mushrooms taste nasty.
Yeah.
Unless you're,
By the way,
putting them on a steak on the side. You know what I mean?
By the way, I like that you know him from How I Met Your Mother. I mean, he was Doogie Howser.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I know that.
Doogie.
But he was Doogie Howser originally. But then How I Met Your Mother really exploded. And the guy's great and everything. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor.
He is a great actor. Yeah.
All right. Tony Bruno, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, brother.
Bye, Tony.
All right, I'm going to go take a quick nap and go to the eye doctor and have my eyes dilated. So we'll see if I can see tomorrow. I may not be able to see, but just like the massage, that Anna had in Vietnam. I'll work in the dark. I'll just feel my way through it if I can't see any of the videos.
Love that.
Great job, Tony. Thanks, brother.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
There he is, Tony Bruno from Florida. Anna Hummel will stick around, and we will be back with a little preview of the Dom Show.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
The Real ID story is taking off for you yesterday, and I guess that conversation will continue again today a little bit.
Yeah, we have an update, and it's taken off because it's a pain. People resent it. They want to know why no voter ID, but why do we have to go through this hoop? And only 26% of people in Pennsylvania have complied. The deadline is May 7th. You can imagine what it's like in a PennDOT office.
Oh.
So Republicans finally have seized the day. They're going after Shapiro. You got to open up the office evening, weekends,
right,
if you want people to comply. If we get 50% of people that comply by May 7th, it'll be shocking, I think.
And here's the thing. If you want people to eventually get on board with it, if you're looking at it from the motivation of Shapiro,
right,
well, then accessibility should matter. And if people are working 9-to-5 jobs Monday through Friday and don't have the time, if you're not going to make it open and available Saturdays and Sundays, well, then people are going to throw their hands up, right?
Right. And this is the guy whose brand, phony brand, in my view, and he did do a good job on 9-to-5, and he put up the camera and all, that's good, is he gets blank done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of surprising to me he didn't seize the day and be at every PennDOT office and handing out flyers. I want the Republicans to be handing out food in front of these places. Put Scott Presler there.
There you go.
He's coming on today. That's what I'm going to suggest. Oh, and you know what?
Time?
He'll do it. 2 o'clock with Scott Presler.
Yeah. 2 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. So that'll be hour 7 of the Dom Show today. Kick off the last hour.
By the way, Dow up almost 1,400% right now.
I see that. So. Yeah. Up almost 3.5% today.
Yeah.
Is this a sucker rally, though? That's a new term I learned where everybody pounces because he's looked so attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rug gets pulled out. These guys are tricky. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up 1,300 points now as we watch. All right. Well, Dom, what else we got lined up today? Anything else? Oh, and by the way, too, I mentioned with the Real ID, as I was telling you during the break, my wife is traveling with the girls, and they're going to Hawaii at the end of this week.
Right.
And I had not been paying attention too much to the Real ID story, but my wife, now that you bring it up, she did tell me 6 weeks ago, that you do realize after May 7th, which is a month from yesterday, you're going to have to go ahead and go through with this process.
Yeah,
which,
or a passport.
Or a passport, right?
Yeah,
and this
absolutely.
Is there some place that you would, if you could think of the worst possible place to be, is there anything worse than, even if they did open it on a Saturday, like you said, being at the Department of Transportation on a weekend?
Oof. Yeah, no thanks.
I'm having the flashback to when Ed O'Neill in Married with Children.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. Hey, this is what you get. You wanted me to stick around at 10:30. You're getting a Bundy story. So when Al Bundy's driver's license expires, he has to go to the DMV, and he, of course, tries to make an appointment. He gets there, and there's the lines 40 deep.
Yeah.
And then they ask him, he's going to take the driver's exam. What language you like with your testing? He goes, I speak the same language as everybody else in this country. And the guy goes, oh, Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, you idiot. I speak English. And they're looking for the test, and he goes, blows the dust off of it, gives him the English test. The DMV might be a place where I could actually just blow my head off. That could be a place where I take my life.
Well, trying to vote in Bucks County in the last election.
After 2 saying, o'clock.
That's the place. Yes, right, after 2 o'clock.
When they cut the line off.
That's where you don't want to be either.
Real story here is the fact that your family is going to Hawaii without you.
Because I'm a soldier. I'm like Dom. I don't take time off.
Anna, do you find this suspect that his wife and children are going
to... All right, long story short. So, wife and I, we went to Hawaii when we were engaged in 2006. In-laws took us.
Wow.
In-laws are doing it again to take all the grandkids.
Gotcha.
Ah.
But we are going to be into our new home by the end of the summer. And we're like 90% of the finish to the finish line with paying off bills.
Gotcha.
If I go, it's going to be another $3,000.
Okay.
I'm taking one for the team.
Right.
As the selfless family man that I am,
Is that how you're pitching it?
Well, that and I don't want to have to dunk on my mother-in-law for 12 days about Trump winning the election.
Yeah.
So I'm also I'm avoiding conflict as well.
Okay, all right.
Oh, but that's a story there. The in-laws are on the other side of the aisle.
That is correct.
Church and state here, then,
There you go. Separation of church and state.
You're doing everyone a favor, including yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
How long are they going to be gone for?
10 days.
Oh, ooh. Nice.
So I have no Dawn for 9 days, and then I have no my wife and kids for 10 days. I'm going to be living the bachelor life.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sitting at home, watching sports, and preparing for the show and taking long naps.
Oh, I like that.
Very
yeah.
long naps.
Oh, man.
There you go. So there you go.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'm going to golf with Dom coming up.
Okay, cool.
So. Oh, that's true.
Well, that's
golf, Anna, at all? Florida? Golfing? No?
Putt-putt, maybe.
Putt-putt's good.
But we'll go mini-golfing. You want to go mini-golfing one day?
Yeah, sure.
We should have a 12-10 putt-putt contest.
I'm busy that day.
Yeah. Stocker blew his Achilles. All right, that'll do it for us. Dom is coming up next. Dom, have a great show. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, Nick.
Scott Pressler at 2 o'clock, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.